fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to kind of wrap up some of the reflections I've had this week on this short little passage the church gave us last Sunday from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the final judgment, talking to a community of young Christians, really a community that was about 5 years old, but was struggling deeply with habit patterns of sin, with division, confusion, dissension. And Paul begins the letter to them by reminding them who they are, what Christ has done in them, and that they will appear before the judgment seat of God. You know, that realization, the internalizing of the fact, the truth, that every human being who's made by God, in fact, made by Jesus, made by the Lord for his glory, made through him, made for him, St. Paul's letter to the Colossians tells us, we will all appear before him and we'll give an account of each life, right? Your life, my life, we will give an account. I've talked a lot about that this week. If you had a chance to tune into the program, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can download them and listen to them on whatever device allows you to do that. But at the end of this section, the last line, I'll read the whole thing one more time. It's very brief. And then I just want to comment on the last line and then celebrate a little bit with you today, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, which we're celebrating. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and following. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to God always for you because of the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. So to believe in Christ, to receive Jesus, is a gift. It's God's gift. You remember when St. Peter, when Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And St. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus was rejoicing and he turned and said, oh, blessed are you, Peter. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my heavenly Father revealed to you who I am. So it's a gift to be able to grasp who Jesus is and to believe in it and trust in it. Now the reading goes on in verse 5, that in every way you were enriched in him with all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony to Christ was confirmed among you. So you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this passage was chosen because it's a second coming passage. It's reminding them to be ready for the return of the Lord, which is what Advent's all about. He's the one who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's referring there to the actual day of judgment. Guiltless, that is standing forgiven. A forgiven sinner standing in the mercy of God, having received the sacraments and the grace God bestows on us that allows us to become children of God and to stand not on our own strength, but to stand before the Lord in faith and trust, having died, abandoning ourselves to him, as hopefully we've done throughout our whole life. The closing sentence is, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful. He's faithful to what? To his covenant. He's faithful to the relationship that he's established with all those who are baptized into Jesus, into his Son. And God's going to help. And what has he done through that baptism? Is he's called you into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's what the Catholic Church is. That's what the Christian community is. It's the fellowship, the church, the fellowship that Jesus himself has established. And Paul again uses Jesus Christ, Lord. All three of these words that are descriptions of Jesus, who he is. If you break them down, Jesus means what? Savior. He's the Redeemer. He's the Deliverer. He's the one who's come to deliver us from the kingdom of darkness, as St. Paul tells us in Colossians, and to bring us into the kingdom of God. God the Father brings us into the kingdom of his beloved Son through the saving work of Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus saves us, and he's the Christ. What does it mean? It means he's the anointed one. He's the one that's anointed with what? With the Holy Spirit. He's the one filled with the Spirit, and it's in human flesh that Jesus walks in his time and history, filled with the Spirit, and what is a reality in Jesus' life, he wants to pass on to us. How do we become children of God? How do we escape the final judgment? How do we become a new creation? We receive the anointing of Jesus. What's that anointing? The anointing is the Holy Spirit. And we're given that anointing in baptism, strengthened in confirmation. And the Holy Spirit leads us and conforms us to Christ and makes it possible for us to become children of God. Only Jesus can do that. He's the Christ. There is no other Christ. There's no one else who can literally give us eternal life, a share in the life which belongs to God, and give us power to become children of God. Only Jesus can do that. So he's Jesus, he's the Christ, and he is our Lord. He's the Lord. All power and authority in heaven and earth belongs to Jesus to establish the Father's reign and his Father's kingdom. That's what life on earth is all about, friends. It's Jesus establishing the kingdom of the Father. He's destroying all the enemies of God, beginning with Satan himself and sin and death, and all those who decide to stay attached to sin will ultimately be destroyed and separated from God. Today, we celebrate the beautiful feast or solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God, who was immaculately conceived. The celebration of the Immaculate Conception is not the celebration of Jesus' birth, but it's the celebration of God's choice of Mary from the moment of her conception to be the instrument by which Jesus takes on human flesh. Jesus literally shares in the blood, shares the DNA of Mary. What a privileged position. Jesus was born of a virgin. A virgin shall conceive and give birth to a child. We're going to hear that again and again as we draw closer to the celebration of Christmas, the birth of our Lord. And what's important for us to see is this God who is faithful is choosing. He chose us through the gospel to be saved. And we're going to participate by God's grace in the glory and the life that belongs to Jesus. St. Peter, as I mentioned earlier this week, describes it so beautifully. He said, he, that is Jesus, gave us power, John the Apostle, he gave us power to become children of God. That's John from his gospel. And then Peter says it this way. We become partakers in baptism and sharing Jesus' nature. We become partakers of the divine nature. I mean, Christianity is it. Christianity, the message of Christ, is it. It's the fulfillment of all human longing. It's the destiny far beyond our wildest imagining to participate in the life of God himself. And Paul will say to us, God chose you through the gospel to be saved. And to be saved ultimately means to be freed from sin so you can participate in a sharing in the divine nature. There's nothing more spectacular and wonderful. Now, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was uniquely chosen by God. So God takes the grace of Jesus, God who's outside of time, takes the grace of Jesus from that cross, and he applies it to the life of Mary at her conception. And she's freed from the stain of original sin. So Mary doesn't have that same work of original sin separating us from God and the dominance of concupiscent desires leading her to the flesh strongly at work in her. God's choice, the church calls us to see the miracle of what Jesus did in his mother, the plan of salvation being worked out in time. And some unique way Jesus is fulfilling the commandments is honor your father and your mother. He uniquely honors Mary, who the church recognizes she was not only immaculately conceived, but she was assumed body and soul into heaven. And in the assumption, Jesus receives his mother and he establishes her as queen of heaven and earth. And she's the great intercessor and the great missionary. She's the first disciple. She's the first most intimate follower of Jesus. And it's important for everyone to understand, the church is not saying that Mary, by virtue of her own decision and her own work, somehow brought about the Immaculate Conception. The church is not saying that Mary is sort of semi-divine, somewhere between God and human beings. Mary is a creature, just like you and me. She's a human being. She's not part God, part human being. Only Jesus is the God-man. Jesus took on human flesh. The Son of God took on human flesh, became one of us, so he could provide for the Father an infinitely wonderful, beautiful sacrifice. for the sins of the world. It was a lamb that laid down his life. He's now victorious in heaven forever. And he wants to share his glory with those who are made in the image of likeness of God, if they would say yes to him, if they would repent, if they would come to him and receive. And what we see in Mary, ultimately, is the unique way in which Christ worked in her life, God the Father worked in her life, and she's being honored by her own son, by virtue of his power, his decision, in obedience to the Father. Mary now has this really uniquely beautiful place as the first disciple among all the disciples of the church. She's the mirror of what the church was meant to be. Here's some things the Catechism says about it, I think are so beautiful. Paragraph 973. By pronouncing her fiat, that is, her yes to God, at the moment of the Annunciation, when the angel Gabriel came to her and told her what God's plan is, she said yes. Catechism says, by pronouncing her fiat at the Annunciation and giving her consent to the Incarnation, Mary was already collaborating with the whole work her son was to accomplish. She's mother wherever he is Savior and head of the mystical body. He's the one who's the Savior, and he's the one who's the head of the mystical body. And all who come to life in Christ are alive in him, in Jesus. Why the Catechism uses the terminology mystical body here is it's describing what the Scripture talks so clearly about. Jesus is the head of a body. There's one body, the church. There's, in fact, the Bible talks about one new man. We're all now sharing in the identity and the life of Jesus Christ. And Mary's the mother of Jesus. And she's the mother of every disciple. And she prays for us and she intercedes for us, as do all the saints, at the right hand of the Father. Paragraph 974, the most blessed Virgin Mary, when the course of her earthly life was completed, was taken up body and soul into the glory of heaven, where she already shares in the glory of her son's resurrection, anticipating the resurrection of all members of his body. She's a great sign of hope for us, and such a contradiction to the world, such a sign of contradiction in her own way. I mean, Jesus is ultimately the sign of contradiction, the God-man dying on a cross and looking defeated, and it was through that cross that he destroyed the power and the work of the enemy and brought about our salvation. But Mary, in her own way, is a sign of contradiction in how the world, we worship power, we worship money. We think the action, the most significant stuff, is where all the power centers are in the world, and men in particular seem to drift toward those or run after those kinds of things in this world as if that's somehow going to free us. And we hear today some of the brightest scientists in the world saying our hope is in our technology, our hope is in artificial intelligence and creating robots who are going to surpass us in knowledge, and the future of the human race is a post-human race in some way. So human beings relying on themselves, trusting in this, and here's Mary. No money, no power, no influence, probably illiterate, who knows, young girl, but pure, simple, holy, and beloved by God, and by a singular grace, she becomes the mother of God, and Jesus honors her, as only he can do, for all eternity. Let's follow in her footsteps. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.